Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. God's irrevocable judgment on those who reject God and his messenger. When God first called Jeremiah to his prophetic ministry, the Lord had predicted that he would be opposed by all the people of the land, that they would not accept his ministry. You'll remember that back in Jeremiah chapter 1, where the Lord says, the kings oppose you, the princes, the people, and so forth. Amazing thing. God called him to a ministry of 40 years, and God told him, you're going to have everybody reject your ministry. That must have been something. Well, when he first faced rejection, Jeremiah had asked God to turn his wrath away in mercy, but this time was different. The people had rejected both God and his messenger. God's judgment would irrevocably fall on such people, according to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18 to 23. And that provides a warning for us in our day. And I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 18, 18 through 23. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows. Let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Okay, very heavy passage. After again delivering a message of God's catastrophic judgment on the nation in Jeremiah 18, 1 to 17, Jeremiah learned that his hearers had responded negatively with negative plans against him. His hearers had spoken with one another about making plans against Jeremiah, for they asserted that the current order in Judah would not be broken, as Jeremiah had often predicted would occur. See, Jeremiah had been predicting that the social order would be upheaved. People would be taken captive, people would be slain, people would die by the famine and the sword and everything. Well, the people believed that the priest would still teach the law. They believed that the advice of the wise would not be lost. And they believed that the word of the prophets, those who predicted peace, as opposed to Jeremiah's repeat dire warnings of catastrophe, would not be lost either. These happened to be the false prophets. Back in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, we read about this. Jeremiah is complaining about the false prophets. They have belied the Lord, or they have been unfaithful to the Lord and said, is not he? Neither shall calamity come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus it shall be done unto them. So the Lord was indicating the prophets are just spouting off wind. They're lying to the people. So I'm going to judge them too. Well, accordingly, weary of all of Jeremiah's so-called negative preaching, the people met and decided to attack him with their tongues while not paying attention to anything he prophesied. They were going to badmouth him with their words. They were going to slander him. They were also going to attack him and scold him and mock him and so forth, which would have been very difficult. Well, with no one in his audience willing to listen to him anymore, Jeremiah turned to God in prayer. And that's where we come in verse 19 all the way to verse 23. In his prayer, Jeremiah asked God to recall how he had stood before the Lord to intercede for these people And all they had done in return was repay him evil for good, digging a pit to entrap him. Yeah, that's difficult when you're serving the Lord and trying your best to help a party or help people, and then they turn on you. That's what Jeremiah experienced. So Jeremiah asked the Lord to render his fierce, destructive judgment upon his hearers. He asked God to give their children over to the famine and to the sword. Now, that's a pretty heavy request because parents expect to die before their children die. One of the most traumatic things for a parent to go through is the death of a child. But that's what Jeremiah was asking for. Turn their children over to famine and the sword. He asked God to let their wives be made childless and widows to experience traumatic grief. And of course, when an army would come in, they would slay often the small children, they would slay the young men, they would slay the husbands, and then the wives would be taken captive, and they would become booty, and they would have to become someone else's wife. It was war in the ancient Near East was extremely traumatic on women, especially married women. And that's what Jeremiah is asking here. He asked God to let their men be put to death and their young men slain by the invaders. Jeremiah asked that a cry of terror be heard from their houses when God suddenly brought the invaders into their homes to commit these devastating actions. For they deserve such judgment since they had dug a pit to capture God's prophet and hidden snares for his feet in an effort to destroy him. Pretty strong words by the prophet of God, isn't it? But God's prophet affirmed that the Lord knew all about the plots of the people to kill him. So he asked God not to forgive their crimes of evil plots, nor to blot out their sins from his sight, but to let them be overthrown before the Lord, that God might deal with them in the time of his anger. And then it was when it was expressed. Now, we've probably been taught that if somebody does us wrong, we're not supposed to expect vengeance and so forth. But vengeance is actually a biblical practice. But it has to be done by God and not by us. Jeremiah's request for God's vengeance was biblical. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 25, God directed, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense." In other words, paying back. And then Romans 12, 19 tells Christians, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Now, the wrath here is not the wrath of the person who's wronging us. That's the wrath of God. The wrath of God. "Give place." Give place for God's wrath to occur. "For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, I find it difficult as a person to pray for vengeance, that God would punish someone. I don't consider myself, even if I've been wrong, I don't consider myself objective enough to pray a prayer like that. I have to trust that Jeremiah here was objective and he was facing traumatic evils from the people. But we do know that vengeance does belong to God, and God will at times take vengeance. So, what I'm seeking to do here is just demonstrate that Jeremiah was not wrong in doing what he was doing. Vengeance was God's. He would have been wrong if he had taken vengeance, but he didn't. He asked God to do it. So, when the people of Judah refused to believe God's messenger, assuming the current social order with the priests teaching the law, the wise giving counsel, and the other prophets giving positive messages would continue, regardless of Jeremiah's dire warnings of impending judgment, and they thus planned to ignore his messages while also verbally assaulting him, Jeremiah prayed for God's vengeance in accord with his planned judgment. So, a couple applications. If we hear a messenger of Scripture give a negative message to us, we should at least check its content with Scripture to see if it is true, and if so, hurriedly repent and confess our sins. I do a lot of preaching nowadays, but I remember for years I used to sit under preachers and I would listen to them preach. And sometimes they would come up with a pretty direct message, you know, that kind of flayed us and left us hanging out to dry. And often I would hear people afterwards complain about it. Why is he so negative? And that always kind of bothered me, because when I would listen to these men preach, as a preacher, I'm giving you my view from behind the pulpit. It's not your goal in life to make enemies out of people. That's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to befriend. So if you have to give a negative message, it's a strain on you as a minister to do that. Okay. So if I find myself, if I'm sitting in a pew and I hear someone preach to me and the message is negative, what I do is remember how difficult that is to give that kind of a message and pay attention and check Scripture and see if he's got a point. And if I fall in the cracks, in other words, if that message is for me, boy, I wake up and realize God has graciously allowed that dear man of God to give that message, and I better repent, because I'll be held accountable to the Lord. So that's the first thing we need to do. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, there are ministers who just have a hobby horse and they're just going at something and it's not really biblical and so forth. We still need to respect the party, but God wants us, first of all, to check Scripture. Number two, if God directs us to give a negative message from his word, now this could happen. We may have to give a difficult Sunday school class, or maybe we're in a Bible study. We might have to give something that involves something negative. Well, if God directs us to give a negative message from his word and we face rejection for doing so, may we not try to appease our hearers by compromising God's message, lest we face his severe discipline. And that's the first thing to keep in mind. Don't water the word down. If God's word is direct, give it. God wants that out there for his people. Don't water it down, or you'll get in trouble from the Lord. But withdraw from the harmful reach of our foes and simply pray to the Lord about the matter. So that's what we can do, is pray to the Lord, that the Lord would deal with it and leave it in the hands of God. May we, like Jeremiah, tend to be willing to forgive those who reject us, like he tried to do in his initial rejections. That's very important. The Bible says we should forgive 70 times 7. In other words, there should be no end to our forgiveness. Now, we can't forgive if a person doesn't repent. But if they repent, we should be immediately willing to forgive. That should be your heart. In other words, there should be a tendency always to be willing to. We may not be able to if the person is not repented, but we should be prepared to give. However, if the rejection persists and intensifies, may we seek the Lord's intervention to fulfill his will regarding our hearers and our ministries to them. I've been in situations where I've run into this kind of a situation, and all you can do is wait for the Lord to intercede, the Lord to get involved. It's like a snowball is starting to go downhill, and it starts an avalanche. And once the avalanche starts, man, nobody can stop it. So all you can do is wait on the Lord, and he's up to something. He's allowing something to occur. So just wait on the Lord and pray about it and commit it to the Lord. Number three, may we also recall that just like God knew all about what Jeremiah would face from Judah's people before his ministry began, God has known all about what we face from eternity past. So we need to rest in God's sovereignty over it all and simply focus on currently obeying the Lord. There's a wonderful passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a pastor at Ephesus, and he talks about God, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning, literally, of time. Wow, that goes way back. That goes back even before Genesis 1, because we understand God had probably created the angels in heaven and so forth before he created in Genesis 1. But even before the beginning of time, the ministry that God has for you and that he has for me was given to us in Jesus Christ. So if we're facing rejection in that ministry, maybe teaching a class of some sort or whatever, we have to remember God knows all about it. He knew all about it from the beginning of time. That being the case, we have to rest in his sovereignty and just trust him and go forth. Once again, if God leads you to pray for vengeance, you know, I can't stand in the way of that. I've never found the courage to pray for vengeance because I've always wondered if I was not objective enough, so I never did that. Sometimes God has punished people who have strongly opposed me, but not always, and so I don't know enough, but I do know God wants us to pray about it and commit it to Him. Leave it in the hands of God. Yeah, He knows our hearts. He knows the hearts of other people, and we can just leave it there.